Our reading is from the first letter of Peter in chapter 5 and reading verses 1 to 11. And in the Church Bible, you will find it on page 1220. In Peter chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Tell the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and the one who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power for ever and ever. Amen.
Please take your Bibles and turn to the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Now, it is a little inconvenient that this letter was written by Paul, and we are here for the induction of Paul. And I hope there'll be no confusion between the two. It's a very great privilege to be here. Paul and I have been friends for many years. When I was in Darlington, he was in Hartlepool, and we often spent Mondays together. And then my wife and I and our family, we went across to America. And then eventually, Paul and Claire and the family went down to Frestingfield, and we just seemed to be getting further and further apart. And then in the last year, we have returned from the United States to Preston, and now Paul and family are here in Haworth, just over an hour apart, and that is a great joy. And I bring you the greetings of the North Preston Evangelical Church, and we have been praying for you here, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness to you. I want to take as a text for a little this afternoon 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul's first letter to Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, where he says this: Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, desires a noble task. An overseer. The work to which our brother has just been set apart is that of an overseer. Through the call of this congregation, through, we believe, the call of God himself, Paul has been given and has assumed pastoral oversight of this congregation. And in our text, the Apostle Paul tells us how we are to think about this task. And the word that he uses is the word noble. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Literally, a good work. The work in which our beloved brother is going to be engaged, we can say, on apostolic authority, is a good work. And what I want to explore with you for a little this afternoon is this. What is so good about the work of pastoral oversight? Isn't it a difficult work? It is. And it can often be a discouraging work and an exhausting work. And those of us who have been charged with oversight of God's people often feel like giving it up. And we know that at the end of it all, we're going to have to give account to God. So, what's so good about it? Why does Paul write as he does here? If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. That's the question that we're going to be thinking about. What's so good about it? And here is what I hope and pray the answer will do. Number one, I hope and pray that it will encourage you, Paul. To what kind of work has our brother now given himself? A good work. And my prayer is that it will be helpful to him to think about it in that light. And then there is the congregation, the members of the Hall Green Church here. To what have you set apart this beloved brother? A good work. And my prayer is that what I have to say to you this afternoon will help you to set a proper value on him and deepen your commitment to praying for him and supporting him in this new work. So we come to the question, what is so good about this good work of pastoral oversight? And the answer lies in five things. Number one, it lies in the materials. What God has given to the overseer to work with or in or upon. There was a man in the Old Testament by the name of Bezalel. And this is what the Lord had to say to Moses about Bezalel. This is from Exodus 31. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge, and all kinds of crafts, to work artistic designs, or work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work at wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. It's that very remarkable time in Israel's history. They're commanded by God to build a tabernacle or tent of meeting. And there, in a unique way, God is going to dwell. He's going to be right there in the midst of his people. This is where they can meet with him. And at the heart of all this work to make this tabernacle and everything connected with it, there is this extraordinarily gifted man by the name of Bezalel. And he has all these fine materials to work with. Gold and silver and bronze and precious stones and acacia wood. Now, with that as the picture in our mind, let's think about the overseer and let's ask what kind of materials he has to work with and in and upon. And the answer of the Bible is materials of infinitely greater value than what were given to Bezalel. Acts 20, verse 28. Here is the Apostle Paul addressing the elders in Ephesus. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. How high a value does God set upon his beloved people? So high that he was prepared to pay the most extraordinary price for them. We are infinitely precious in the eyes of our God. It's hardly believable, but in his eyes, well worth the sacrifice and the suffering of his own beloved son. And now, this very precious people he has placed in the care of overseers. These, if you like, are the materials that God has given to us to work with and in and upon, on behalf of the Saviour who bought them as instruments in his hands by which his gracious purposes in salvation are outworked. And that's the first reason why it is a good work, this work of pastoral oversight. And there are times when it is particularly important for the overseer to call this to mind. In one of Dickens' novels, there's a very unpleasant character by the name of Jonas Chuzzlewit. And on one occasion, in a fit of exasperation, he said of his father that it wasn't regular blood that ran in his veins, but liquid aggravation. And there are times when overseers are tempted to feel that it's a like substance that's flowing in the veins of God's people. Now, I'm sure that won't be how it is here with you, Paul. But just if it should ever be so, it is good for us to remember just how precious the Lord's people are to him. How dearly loved they all are. And what an honour, therefore, it is to be entrusted with their pastoral care. Secondly, the answer lies in the goals, the aims or objects that we have in our work as overseers. What's so good about this task? It's goals. Noble goals. I'm perfectly illustrating just how noble the task is of pastoral oversight. Well, we can only glance at them for a moment or two. Instruction. If your people here, Paul, are to grow in grace, if they are to mature in their faith, if they are to become stronger and wiser and more useful believers, then they must receive the food of the word. They need instruction. And it's one of the principal aims of the overseer to provide that instruction so that God's people will grow in grace and become increasingly like the Lord Jesus and useful in the Master's kingdom. And then we aim at our people's protection. an overseer, this is Paul's letter to Titus, must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And then Paul goes on to talk about false teachers who needed to be silenced because they were ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to have been taught. And such people are with us to this day. And one of the great goals of pastoral oversight is to protect God's people, to so instruct them in the Word of God that they are safeguarded as they face false teaching. So our goal is instruction, it is protection, and again, restoration. For God's people do go astray. They do imbibe false teaching. They do fall into sin. And when that happens, the overseer does not stand by and simply watch it happen. His aim is ever the restoration of those who have strayed. And then we aim at the comfort of God's people. Every day, every Lord's Day, our brother is going to have suffering people in front of him. Every Lord's Day. And his visitation work is going to take him into homes where there are suffering people. And his goal, the goal of the overseer, is to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen God's people in their sorrows, to help them to press on, and to that end to bring to them the great consolations, the great promises of the Word of God. So there are all these fine goals, these noble objects, and there's actually one word that we can use to gather them all in together to one, and that is the word salvation. What are we aiming at if we are overseers of God's people? Nothing less than their salvation. Its beginning, its continuance, its progress. And to that end, we instruct and we protect and we restore and we comfort. And that's a second reason why it is a good work to which you have set this beloved brother part this afternoon. Its goals, its noble objects. And then there's the third part of the answer, and it lies in the tools. The tools. My father loved his tools. He was a skilled woodworker. Some of you men are here as well, I'm sure. I remember after his retirement, he emptied one of the upstairs bedrooms in the house and fitted it all out to be the workshop that he had always wanted, and around the walls and on the work surfaces and on the floor, the tools, the machines that he used for his woodwork. And we who are overseers, we too have our tools. Same God who has given us such precious materials to work with and in and upon, and has set before us all these noble objects, has granted us the privilege of using some very fine tools to accomplish our task. There is, to begin with, the Word of God. Here our brother is. And for your good and your instruction, your protection, your restoration, your comfort, your salvation, he gives himself to the work of pastoral oversight. How does he do it? Well, there is an indispensable tool that he needs. And that tool is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, it is impossible for our brother to fulfill this task. And God has put that Word into your hands. His breathed out Word. Its history, its doctrines, its songs, its prophecies, its letters, its characters, its Saviour, exquisitely fitted to do this great work. You men here who love your tools, you get enthusiastic, don't you, about a fine tool does exquisite work, just exactly suited for the work that you wanted to do. And here is the Word of God. And what can it do? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can make saints. It can take the raw materials of sinners and mould them and fashion them into the most beautiful saints. And that is the tool that God has given to our brother and to other overseers here in order to accomplish their task. And then along with the Word of God, there is prayer. Here are the apostles in Acts 6. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. You remember, it was the care of the widows. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. It was a vital part of the work of the apostles. They had to be able to give themselves to it undistractedly. Not only the ministry of the Word, but to prayer. And that is no less vital a part of the work of pastoral oversight. And here is why. Very simply, it is how God has ordered things. The spiritual blessings that his people need ordinarily come in answer to prayer. God is sought for these blessings. When they are given ordinarily, they are given in answer to prayer. It's what brings heaven down to earth. It's what brings God down to man. It's what puts mercy and grace and peace and every other spiritual grace into the hearts of God's people. Prayer. And it has been given to us to use. The prayer that gets the ear of God. The prayer that enlists on behalf of the saints God's limitless power. And nor is our use of it in vain, because it is the very thing that he is pleased to use to bring his purposes to pass. The Word of God and prayer. And so you see how the picture is building up. We're asking this afternoon, what's so good about this good work of pastoral oversight? And we've seen that the answer lies in the materials, it lies in the goals, it lies in the tools. Fourthly, it lies in the Master, the one whom we serve as overseers. Peter calls him the shepherd and overseer of our souls. He is the one who has supreme oversight. And ours, if we are overseers, is the privilege of being overseers under him. Now, there are two sides to serving the supreme overseer, and one is a sobering side, And you see it in the Old Testament, in the denunciation of the shepherds of Israel. Who were the shepherds of Israel? They were Israel's leaders, entrusted with the care of God's old covenant people. And yet, again and again and again, instead of caring for them, they abused and corrupted and neglected them. And so they became the objects of prophetic denunciation and eventually the objects of divine judgment. And that is one side of this matter, serving the supreme overseer. And it's recorded for our warning, those of us who have been charged with the pastoral oversight of God's people, woe to us if we abuse and corrupt and neglect the Lord's people. And instead of being a blessing to them, or a curse. But it's only the one side. The other side is this, and that is our Lord's pleasure in his servant's faithfulness. See, he has these very precious people whom he has placed in our care, in your care, Paul. And he has made it very clear what caring for his people entails: instruction, protection, comfort, and so on. And he has given us these fine tools with which to do the work. And in himself, he has given us the most outstanding example, because he is the good shepherd who gave his own life for the sheep. And when we seek to imitate him, to be overseers after the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of giving him pleasure. It pleases the Lord when men give themselves to this work. And if it pleases him, then it necessarily is a good work. And one day, he's going to show it. And he's going to do it in a way that is going to utterly amaze his servants, and is going to dispel any doubt that they might ever have had of the acceptableness of their work to him. And I'm thinking now about the reward, which is the final part of our answer. To be an overseer is a difficult job, and it's discouraging, and it can be wearying, and we can feel like giving it up. But Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that it is a good work. And we've been seeing why. It lies in the materials, and in the goals, and in the tools, and in the master whom we please. And lastly, it lies in the reward. And here we come to the passage that our brother read earlier in the service, 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter says this: be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then the great promise: and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Promise of a reward. Now, what that unfading crown of glory exactly will be has not been disclosed. But of this, at least, we can be absolutely sure: it will be in every way worthy of our astonishingly generous Saviour, and utterly, utterly humbling to ourselves. Because God is a way of rewarding his servants that is out of all proportion to the work that they have done for him. So it will be with God's people in general. And so it will be with those who have been faithful shepherds of his people. Because Jesus loves his blood-bought people with an immeasurable and eternal love. And when he sees overseers endeavouring to be faithful to their task and to love these people too and seek their highest well-being, it gives him pleasure. And one day, he will show it with this reward of the crown of glory. So Paul, it is a good work to which you have given yourself and to which this congregation has set you apart. I know that you have long been persuaded of that. But I preach you this afternoon and ask you to carry it with you into all the unknown days that are before you and through all the ups and downs that will inevitably lie ahead. A good work. Difficult? Yes. Discouraging at times? No question about it. Will our brother feel like giving up? More times than he'll dare to tell you. And beside that, it will be a work to which he will often feel himself so unfit and will always wish that he did so much better. But it is a good work. And therefore a privilege to be doing it. So count it, my beloved brother, and in the Lord's strength you give yourself to it. And you who are Paul's new flock. Overseers, and there were a whole group of them up here. They're all imperfect men. And it shows. And there may be times when you wish that they were better men than they are. But you see what a good work it is that has been entrusted to them. Let it teach you to set a proper value on them, and especially upon your new pastor, Paul. And my beloved brothers in Hall Green, show it. Show it. Show that you set a high value on this brother whom you have called. Show it by praying for him often. And by doing what you can to encourage him and being faithful in your attendance upon services here, and be kind to him and to his family so that you will make his work among you a joy which will bring glory to Jesus and blessing to you.